Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news for you. We are here on this plane of action because we have dominion. And we have dominion over everything on this plane of action. And that is what this thing that we call God has given to us, along with many other wonderful blessings and wonderful gifts. The idea of dominion is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. If you have dominion over everything, that means dominion over your thinking, over your thoughts. I know in the Bible it says you were given dominion over all the animals. Well, you were. But you're also given dominion over everything in your life. That means whatever comes into your life, you have dominion over that. And when you have dominion over something, that means that you can control that. You can change that. You are the one that's doing it. So if you have a problem or a situation in your life, we waited for you two and you didn't come.
We found a box.
Oh, we just rescued this dog from the
phone.
Good. Good deed. See, good deed. But we have dominion. And we have dominion over everything that comes into our life, any situation. You have dominion over that so that you are never a victim. So try to remember that. And with your thinking, you have dominion over what you want to think and how you want to think. You have dominion over your career. You have dominion over your life. And you are never, never a victim. There is no such thing in this teaching as a victim. There are volunteers, but there are no victims. You do not have to be a victim. That is an idea that the world has and that the world teaches, that there is such a thing as victimhood out there, that something else is causing it, that somebody else is causing it, or the economy is causing it, or the world itself is causing it. And that none of that is true. None of that is true. When you have dominion, you do not have victimhood of any type. You can take care of yourself by realizing that you have that power, that you have dominion over everything. So if you're in a situation now, know that you're victorious immediately and that you have dominion over that, and use it as an opportunity to prove that you can change that you can change anything that comes into your life. But the main thing with the dominion is that you have dominion over your thinking, so that you do not allow your mind to just run rampant over you all the time and tell you all sorts of things that are not true. And that's what the mind loves to do. It loves to tell you things about yourself, and particularly, that are not true. And it loves to drag up all the past things and tell you what you did wrong. Don't listen to that. The past is the past. What you've done is over. Don't drag it with you. And don't repeat it. Have dominion over it. So, remember that you're here on this plane of action with the power of dominion over everything. And you will see a change in your life. All right? Now, our next thing is always a race mind alert. I went to see the Alder Boys, or rather, I was taken to see the Alder Boys. Don't bother, it wasn't very good. But here is this wonderful thing called Playbill. So we open up Playbill, and we're there to be entertained. The first thing is your cholesterol out of whack? On page one. Now, it's not so bad that that's page one about your cholesterol. Now I'm going to show you. Here are the pages of disclaimer. One, two, notice the small print. two pages of disclaimers. So then we read on, and we come to ask your doctor, can bone loss be reversed? Now we have an ad for Fosamax. Now, watch this, two pages. Here, two pages, small print of disclaimer. Now, we turn to the next page. We'll eventually get to what it says about that. And that's Cedars-Sinai, an advertisement for a hospital. Then we go through this a little more. And lo and behold, we come to Ambient. Now, watch Ambient. One, two, and the other ones, by the way, were in two columns. This is in three columns. One, two, three, four. 4.5 pages of disclaimers. 4.5 pages of disclaimers. I think that was all I found in here. But now we're almost finished with the book. This is all absolute race mind. All this advertising, constantly telling you what's wrong with you. And then, of course, all the side effects that come along with all of these. So the friend who took me here said that her friend's son took Ambient. And it causes you to sleepwalk. And he got up and was walking in his sleep and got in his car and was up and down the street running into things. He ran into I don't know how many cars. And he was on Ambient. The woman beside me said, oh, yes, that's absolutely right. She said, the dreams are so vivid that you have on Ambient that you think they're real and that you get up and walk. You know, that you think you're really, that's the reality of the thing.
Was it in the disclaimer?
Oh, yes, it is in the disclaimer. It says causes, something about causes, not mood swings. Something similar to that. Yes. Yes. I mean, it's incredible. But this is all absolute race mind. Absolutely. Here's all the things that it causes: headaches, dizziness. Oh my God, it's so small you can't read it. Drugged feeling. Yes. Depression. Abnormal dreams, amnesia, what do we need that for? Anxiety, nervousness, sleep disorder. Why isn't this a sleeping pill? And it's causing sleep disorders? Let me see if I've got the right one here. Yeah, it's Ambien. Causes sleep disorder. It's right there. I'm not making that up. Sleep. Doesn't that say sleep disorder?
Isn't it a sleeping pill?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sleeping pill. Well, it causes sleep disorder. You're not used to going to sleep at that time. So you have a sleep disorder while you're taking Ambien. Oh, well, read that. You wouldn't take that thing.
I took it.
Oh, and does it?
I woke up. All the lights in the house were on. I was sitting on the edge of the bed. I had the phone. I went into the kitchen, and what I had done is I had a bamboo plant. I had cut it up and put it in a Tupperware and stuck it in my sleeping room floor.
Wow. But you didn't know you did.
Didn't know I did. But I was looking around where my plant got. And the next morning is when I found out. Yeah. And a friend of mine, his mother-in-law, flew from here to London, and she woke up in Rome. They had to take her off the plane. She didn't know how she got there. That was it. Never took it. Thanks for that.
Yeah. So these are the things that are out there. And I'm not against prescription drugs. And they do help in some cases. But more and more of these prescription drugs, the side effects are absolutely incredible. And when you have 5 pages of disclaimers of telling you what's going to go wrong if you take this pill, what is the benefit of that pill? But the idea here is you go to be entertained, and they immediately start to tell you that you need to take some type of pill, that you can't get through this world, you can't get through life without taking pills of some sort. I had a cousin who lived to be 102, and her daughter said after she died, her daughter said, well, mother was only sick a week before she died. She said, I'm not feeling well, and she stopped drinking and eating and went to bed and died. But she said the most amazing thing about my mother was, in 102 years, she had never taken a prescription drug. She had never taken a prescription drug. My Aunt Catherine, who's going to turn 95, when she went to a doctor for the first time in 60 years, the doctor said to her, when was the last time you saw a doctor? And she said, 60 years ago. And he said, well, what kind of medications are you on? And she said, none. And he said to her, that's probably why you have lived so long. Wow. Now, they know that. They know that. But these ads keep telling you, you must take something. You must take something. And that is total, total race mind. So I'm only pointing that out so that you notice those things, because it's getting worse and worse if you notice everywhere you look, there's an ad to take something. Because there's a great deal of money made in the pharmaceutical business. Great deal of money. Now, they do some good, the pills and so forth. We have a lady in the audience here who happens to sell pharmaceuticals. But there are some. You do insulin and stuff. Yes, there's a difference. But you have to know the difference when you're doing those things and not fall for all these ads that are out there and all these pills that are out there, because the side effects are entirely too much. And you hear that on the television set. The woman goes on about, it could cause this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But I take it anyway. I feel better. Now, I don't know how you could feel better after taking that stuff. But, you know, when they start telling you all that on the television, who would take those pills? Who would take them? It always seems that the side effect is worse than what you have or think you have, you know. So, with that, my suggestion is stay healthy. Don't let yourself get into those situations. Have dominion over your health. And you can have dominion over your health by using your thinking and by making right choices in your life. You say, you don't have to do that. A lot of people who take insulin, they take insulin because they've eaten sugar all their life. Is that not right? When the doctor said, please stop taking sugar, you're going to have to take insulin, they keep right on taking the sugar. So they bring that on themselves. Now, we cannot blame that on the universe, and we cannot blame that on God and say, look at that, God caused those people to get diabetes. Stop eating the sugar. You see. And I know that's easy to say, and sometimes we don't do what's the easiest thing. But we have a philosophy in this country where go ahead and do anything you want because we can take a pill to reverse what you've just caused yourself to get. And that's not true. That's not true. We have to start taking care of our own selves and our own health and realize that we can't do some of these things. So just think about those things. But know that you do have dominion over your health. And that means over your thoughts. So that you can say, ha, I don't think I'll eat all that pound of ice cream tonight. You know, I'll eat a half a pound. But you have to use wisdom with everything you're doing. You have to use wisdom. But don't fall into this trap where you think you all these pills are going to do something for you, because they're not. They're going to do more harm than good. You know? Did I just make everyone feel awful? Are you all taking pills of something? That's not my role here or my job. My job is never to make you feel bad. My job is to make you feel good. My job is to make you realize that you can be filled with joy and happiness and bliss all the time, not just some of the time, but all the time. And that you can feel good about yourself all the time, not just some of the time. And that's what you come to these classes to learn how to do, so that you can go through this life completely differently than most people go through life, so that you can feel good about yourself. Remember, what are we learning here? To love ourselves. We're learning that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable. And with that, let's do our little thing.
Okay.
New people, just stand up and go with it. It's a little strange, you know, but you'll do. But we like it. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Thank you. For the new people, we do that, and for people who haven't been here for a while, we have added that. Because I was talking at a new class that I do on Thursday nights, and so many times we leave something out when we're teaching, or I leave something out because I think that you people already know. Oh, yeah. I always say that about books and so forth, like self-help books and stuff that you read. Well, you can read that self-help book, but they leave like the first step out because they assume that you know that. Well, in this teaching, if you don't know that you matter, and that means not only to yourself, but that you matter to this thing that we call God, that this thing that we call God would be incomplete without you. God absolutely needs you. That's how much you matter. And you matter to this whole universe. You are part of this universe. So you have to realize that you matter, that your life matters. And then you start to embed that in your whole being. So that when you know that you matter, you're going to take better care of yourself. You're really going to start to love yourself because, my goodness, I matter. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to choose differently. But if you don't know that you matter, it's not a good way to go through life. Now, a student in the class on Thursday night was so taken by that, a realization came to her, an aha experience came to her, and she said, oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because my mother, who had made her transition, and I don't know, was maybe 80, said to her, you know, in all my years, I never felt I mattered. In all my years, I never felt I mattered. And if you're here on this plane of action for 80 years, and you haven't come to the realization that you matter, that's not a nice way to go through life. It's not a nice way to go through life. So, for the younger people and for everyone in here, learn that now. You will save yourself a great deal of difficulty in life, that you will not put yourself through all the victimhood and all the depression and all the sadness and so forth that the world teaches you is necessary. That is not necessary. Once you know that you matter, you will take good care of yourself. And your thoughts will change about who you are and about everything else. And you will have more joy in your life. You will have more life in your life. But it requires that to know that you matter. And the outside world is not going to tell you that. The outside world, what we call race mind, doesn't want you to know that you matter. It doesn't want you to know that you're worth anything. It wants you to know that you have to take pills, is what the world wants you to know. It will not tell you that you matter. So you have to do that. How many people are on jobs and so forth and they think they don't matter? Oh, well, anyone could do this job. My boss doesn't care about me. I don't matter to him. How many relationships are people in that say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care about me. I don't matter to him. No way to go through life. You have to know that you matter. And you see, since we're talking about that wonderful thing called the law of attraction, if you matter, then things that matter to you and people that know that they matter will come into your life. If you think that you don't matter, what do you think you're going to be able to attract in your life? Very little. Very little. Because why? Well, I don't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't matter. And the universe hears that. The universe hears that. And the law of attraction goes into effect. How many people here have watched The Secret or seen it on Oprah and all that? All about the law of attraction. What did you learn from The Secret?
Me.
Yes, you.
Oh. Oprah had the week after, and I was telling Dallas when this one lady, she said, for me, it just really hit home. She said, it's just like when you go to a restaurant and you order something. It's like you do the same with the universe. Like if you order steak and eggs, you expect to get steak and eggs, and that's how you put the order out to the universe. So Dallas uses the analogy of sending a letter. You just expect it to get there. So, I thought that was great because every time I order something, it better be right. So I guess it's better like that in the universe.
Yes. And how many people go into a restaurant and it doesn't matter to them what they order? Doesn't matter. You see, you're placing an order with the thing that we call God all the time. You must tell the universe exactly what you want. You must tell it exactly what you want. That's the whole idea. In February, our first talk in February was attention, giving attention to things, attention to details, giving attention to me when I speak, which is an honor for me that you people give me your attention. That's a wonderful thing. In all relationships, it requires giving attention to the other person. And that's a great honor to give to somebody and for the other person to receive that attention. And the next week we talked about focusing, taking our attention and really focusing in on something so that we know exactly what we want, so that it is very, very clear what we want. And the clearer we can get that, the focus, the faster a demonstration will happen for you. And a demonstration for people that are new means to manifest something, to bring what you want into your life, to bring it into your life. I refer to it as, it takes clothes and dwells among you. You have a vision, you have an idea, you focus in on that. And when you focus enough, the whole universe makes that come. Because we're only ever working with one element. It's always the same element, it's always the same thing going on. You don't need a different element to make a car or to make $100 or to get a job or anything. You only need one element to do that. And that's a God element. And you get that by focusing in on it. And that's exactly what I want. And then your power, because where your attention goes, energy flows. And this whole thing is done with energy. And it's done with focusing your energy to a particular thing that you want to do. Otherwise, your energy is dispersed everywhere. So you're gathering your energy and you're putting it down where you want it to go. How many people here know energy and know that we're living, moving, and having our being in energy? That there's always energy going on. You? No, Trevor? You know energy? Good. It's
everywhere.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Because so many people outside never even give it a thought about energy. They do not realize that we're always putting out energy, that we're putting out our energy. That's why we want our thoughts to be very clear. And the energy that we want to put out always is a positive energy, a loving energy, a caring energy, a compassionate energy. That's the energy that we want to put out into the world so that we get that back. So many people focus on all the negatives, and that's all they keep getting in their life, and they can't figure that out. But it's the energy, and it's done with the law of attraction, which is an immutable law of the universe, meaning it can never change. It also works the same for everybody. No one is special, but everyone is special, because this thing we call God does not show favorites, but we're all special, but we're all the same also, and we all use this power, and we can all use it. And if you think you're bad so you can't use it, the power does not know that. Say. The power doesn't know that. The power only knows how to give back what you put into it. And it gives that back to you. And that is the law of attraction. And to prove it in on this plane of action, that what you put out always comes back to you, we have on this plane of action what we call the echo. And if you yell out, in fact, you can do it in this room. If you yell out, "I can," the universe yells back, "I can." If you say, "I can't," comes back to you. So you can think of the law of attraction as an echo. And what echo do you want to come back to you? What echo do you want to come back to you? So think of those things when you're trying to make a demonstration or manifest something. What echo is coming back to me? What have I put out that's going to come back to me? And just think of that as an echo. It's a wonderful way to look at it. And then you'll see that it always comes back to you. And that you are the cause of that, because you're always the cause onto your own experience. You see, this thing that we call God is so polite. If you say, "I can't do it," God doesn't say, "Oh, yes, you can, because I put all that good power into you, dearie, and you're allowed." "Oh, yes, you can." No. God is too polite. It says, "You're right."
Now, if I heard somebody say, "You know yourself better than anyone else. And if you don't like yourself, why should anyone like you?"
Right.
And we think if we don't like ourselves, someone will convince us that we're fine.
Right. That may take a long time to find somebody that wants to convince you of that. And I know a lot of people want to be saviors out there, and they want to run around and try to convince somebody that they're all right. Horrible job. Horrible job. You have to convince yourself that you're all right. You have to do that for yourself. You see, if you're waiting for your parents or your boss or your lover or what our friends to tell you that you're all right, forget it. They may never do it for you. But you have to know that. And then you don't have to go looking around for that all the time. Look inside of yourself. And know that you're a wonderful person. And know that you have these wonderful qualities in you. And that you're using those qualities. There isn't a quality that you can't have. You know, you may say, oh, well, you're better at talking than I am. I only talk because I've learned how to do it. Anyone can learn how to talk. Anyone can give a public speaking. But you have to do it. It's inside of you. Everything is inside of you. With actors, many actors think they can't do what another actor can. If one actor can do it, all actors can do it. That's one of the little things about the law of mind. Since we live, move, and have our being in the law of mind, every time that somebody says able to accomplish something, then we're all able to accomplish that. Because what's known in one point of mind must be known in all points of mind. So when Roger Bannister, I believe his name was, broke the 4-minute mile, which they said, no, Bannister. Roger?
Bannister.
Bannister. Roger, though, I got, didn't
you
I?
You got that right.
And the B I got. When he broke the 4-minute mile, then everyone broke the 4-minute mile. But before that, the paradigm was, no human can do that. So you took that and said, oh, can't be done. Soon as he did it, everyone was able to do it. So if you see somebody out there that's doing something and you say, well, I can't do that, don't do that to yourself. If they can do it, you can do it, because they're living, moving, and having their being in the mind of God, and so are you. And what's known in one point in that mind has to be known in all points of that mind. That's a given. But the world tells us differently. The world tells us differently. Don't listen to the world. Listen to me. You have to remember that you're an individualized expression of the one mind, or you're an individualized expression of God, and that you have every quality that God has. You have every virtue that God has. Now, our job is to find those and bring them out. Bring them out from inside of us. We came to this plane of action completely equipped with all those things. We came to this plane of action completely equipped to be victorious and to have dominion over everything. We have that within us. The world outside wants to take that away from you, wants to take it away from everybody so that they can control. That's all it's about, is control. Don't allow yourself to fall for that stuff. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to be your own person. And draw those qualities out of yourself. Excuse me. They're there to be drawn out. I cannot stuff them into you, but I can help you draw them out of yourself by telling you what? First of all, that you matter. That you matter. That you're worthy, deserving, and totally lovable. And totally lovable. Learn those things. Those are the foundation of your life. And with those four elements, you can build any life that you want and find joy, peace, happiness, and bliss in it, because you know that you're worthy, that you do matter, and that you make a difference. Every good thought that we think is remembered by the universe. Every good thought that we think is remembered by the universe. And we're building our reality and our universe with our thoughts. We are the ones that are doing that. And we have to know that. I have a wonderful little card, and I forgot to bring it tonight, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because I'm almost sure I can remember it. And if I don't, remembered exactly. You'll never know. I had this card for years, my little 3x5 cards, and I found it the other day, and I put it on my desk. First, I put it by my nightstand, in fact, because it's this. One day, we will learn to have our conversations in heaven. Well, see, that does something to me. Now, I'll tell you what it means. Our conversations in heaven, meaning that we're on a higher consciousness where we say good things about ourselves, where we say good things about other people, where we see good in everything, where we're always talking positive. Do you think they talk negatively in heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. But we learn to talk. We learn to say, oh, I don't like that. Oh, he's awful. Ugh, that's ugly. You see, that's not having our conversation in heaven, is it? So learn to think of that. Where's my conversation? On what plane am I having my conversation? On what plane of consciousness do I want to have my conversation? And your whole universe will change. Your whole reality will change. When you start to have the conversation in your head and about yourself. And about yourself. Now, when I talk about heaven, you know, I realize that it's not a geographical place. And I realize that we can be in heaven right here and right now. Why is that? Because there is only the now. You can't make a transition and think you're going someplace else. There's no place to go, people. There's only the now. So heaven has to be right here. As one of the master teachers, Jesus, said, heaven is at hand, or heaven is within you. Heaven is right here, and heaven is on earth, because heaven is everywhere. So we can start to do that, and start to talk differently, and start to talk our self-talk. Keep our self-talk in heaven, meaning let it tell you your mind, you're wonderful, you're lovable. How many people here are still doing, or Rhoda brought it up tonight, I love myself. Remember, we were doing it 10 times, yes, 10 times a day. You have to know, you have to do that. You have to train this mind to think the thoughts that you want to think. To think the thoughts that you want to think, and to keep your conversations in heaven, especially about yourself. How many people here are able to say wonderful things about somebody else, but when it comes to you, say, oh, you have to be able to say something nice about yourself. Your mind has to be able to say something nice to you. Like, geez, you're great. You're looking good today. You know? Instead of waiting for somebody else to say that, look in that mirror every morning and do your mirror work and tell yourself. I was telling the class on Thursday night that I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I do that in the tub after I take my shower. I open up the shower curtain. There's my big mirror, full length, 36 by 36. I get my towel and I put it there and I go, I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I have fun with it. I have fun with it. But I'm bound and determined to make this work. And I don't care if I look silly. I don't care if I act silly. It's if I can gain joy and peace of mind and bliss, I don't care what people think of me. You know, I could care less what people think of me. But I want my mind to say to me, Dallas, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. I want that. And I work for that all the time.
I had a little story about Saturday. My sisters and I, we were having a lunch for my father's birthday. And my dad was running late, but I came in and I told him, I looked at my sister, I go, I'm so pretty, and I matter. And my sister goes, we really, really matter. Yeah. And we just had a ball with the whole thing, so I know what you're talking about. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No.
What other people think. What matters is we feel good.
But we're changing the way we think, and we have to do that. We have to be able to do that. Did you have a question?
Well, it was just a comment. Just talking about being silly, and I've heard masters say enlightenment has to do with lightening up.
Oh, yes.
So if you lighten up and you're being silly, you're on your way to being, you are acknowledging your mastery.
Yes. I was taught years ago that the closest that you can ever get to God is through laughter. The closest you can get to God is through laughter. And it's learning to lighten up in this world. And when we lighten up and when we move up in consciousness, we see how funny all these things are. And what we see that is really funny, which the rest of the world does not see, is all the melodrama that's going on. And we see it as a melodrama and we start to laugh. Because we know it's just a melodrama. It's just a story that somebody's telling, and there's no truth in it whatsoever. There's no truth in it whatsoever. But the world wants to keep telling the story, and it wants you to keep telling your story, so that you're completely stuck in that story. You have to know that you're bigger than your story. You have to know that you're not your story and that you have dominion over your story and that you can change that story anytime you decide to change it. But we think our story is so important and we just keep telling it and we just keep telling it. I have used to have people in my life telling the same story over and over. They're no longer in my life because I heard the story so many times I knew it. Did I need to invite them over again to hear that same story? No. You don't keep watching the same television station all the time, do you? The same sitcom. Well, not the same sitcom you don't keep watching. You change it. Just, you know, don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's do spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what God or the universe already knows about us. For the new people, when I say God or the universe, God and the universe are one and the same thing. There is only ever God. God is everything. We teach here in this room and in this teaching, it's a teaching of unity, meaning that there is no duality whatsoever. There's not up and down, right and wrong, and all that, and heaven, earth, and God and devil. There's only God. And God encompasses everything. And there's nothing outside of God. Nothing outside of God. An impossibility. God is everything. That's why we can make the statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So, we're affirming or reaffirming what the universe already knows about us. So I will do this in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely delighted to be alive. I am absolutely delighted to be alive at this time. This is the greatest time of my life. I am totally in love with my life, and I am totally in love with everything that's going on in my life. I see nothing but good in my life, and I love to see that good. And because I am one with that good multiplies. I focus on that good, and I watch that good grow and grow and grow. And that good includes money, prosperity, and abundance. And I allow money to freely circulate in my life, so that I always have a divine surplus. I know that I am one with everything in the universe, and that I am entitled to this because I am worthy, deserving, lovable, and I matter. And I let that be so, and so it is. Okay. Tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is intention. We had attention, we had focus, and now we're having intention. And I do believe Rhoda used to have my book called The Power of Intention by that famous man,
Wayne Dyer.
And if you read the book, he explains that. But we're going to go on a little different thing about intention. How many people have heard the expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? And we throw that around all the time. That's race mind, by the way. But we throw the word intention around. And there is power of there is power in intention. Because you have to have an intention to do something. When you have an intention to do something, then things start to happen. But I hear people all the time say, my intention is to do this. My intention is to have that. I intend to do this. I intend to become this. But then they never move. They never do anything about it. They never do anything about it. You have an intention. You're the one who has to do something about it. God cannot steer a parked car, people. God cannot steer a parked car. You have an intention to do something. Then you have to do something about that. You're the one who has to do something. Raymond Charles Barker said, if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you better go down to the harbor and have real strong arms and pull it in yourself. You have to do something. Intention is a word, I think, that people are throwing around and thinking that something is going to happen. So because they say, well, I intend to do that. I used to work with a fellow who always said, I intend to do this. He never got anything done. But he got rewarded for it because the boss would say, well, he intended to do that. But I said, nothing got done. And you're rewarding him for his intention? Always have something in mind. Have an intention in mind. But then do something about it. You're the one who has to do something about it. Remember, God helps those who help themselves. You have to start something. The German proverb that I have in my bedroom says, begin to weave, and God will furnish the thread. But you have to start. You can't just say, I intend to do this, this, and this. That's like writing out New Year's resolutions, putting them on a piece of paper, and then never doing anything about it. We always have to do something about it. We're the ones who have to do it. But there is power of intention. There is power in intention. But we have to do something to make it start to work for us. To make it start to work for us. And so many people think because I call this one of the loopholes that your mind likes to do to you, thinking that you've done something because you said, well, I intend to do that. And your mind tricks you into thinking you've done something. But you haven't done anything. You've just used that word. How many people here have said that to themselves? I intend to do something and then haven't done it. Yes. You see? You have. I don't know how I knew this stuff. Comes to me. We have to do something for ourselves. We're the ones who have to do it. Then the universe will come and back you up in that. Raymond Charles Barker also wrote a book, somebody else has, called The Power of Decision. And there is power in a decision. And the reason why most people never get anywhere, they can't make a decision. Once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But the universe can't do anything until you decide to make that decision. And why people are afraid to make a decision is absolutely beyond me. I can't figure that one out, because it's either going to work or it's not going to work. And you'll certainly find out very soon if it doesn't work, and then you make another decision. But to stand there and be completely baffled over making a decision is an absolute waste of your time. It's a waste of your energy, and it's getting you absolutely nowhere. Make the decision, and you'll find out in no time flat whether it worked or it didn't. And if it didn't, you make another decision. You make another decision. How many people here study The Course in Miracles? The Course in Miracles can be summed up in two words, I believe. Choose again. If it doesn't work, choose again. People spend years studying The Course in Miracles. And The Course in Miracles boils down to choose again. Meaning, you made a decision that was wrong. Now you notice it's wrong. Choose again, make another decision. Why, the dog talks on it? Where was I before that jingle?
Choose again.
Course in Miracles always boils down to that. Choose again. And then choose again. And that's what this whole thing of life is about, is choosing. And knowing that you don't have to stay with your choice. This teaching is summed up with what? It is always done unto you as you believe. That's all this teaching teaches. I go on every avenue I can think, but it always comes back to it's done unto you as you believe. Meaning, not as I believe, but as you believe. You see, you come and you hear me talk, and I tell you, take anything out of here, but make it yours. You don't ever have to give me credit for any of this stuff. It's not mine anyway. Don't give me credit. And never say, well, Dallas said. Say, I, and change it. Make it yours. Because it's going to be done unto you as you believe, not as I believe. So most things can be boiled down to very simple things. So this whole thing about have an intention, but then know that you have to do something about that. We have another saying in this teaching, treat and move your feet. You have to get up and do something about it. You see, I can have an intention to move across the room, but if I don't get my lazy something up off of this chair, am I going to get to the other side of the room? No, I can sit here all day long and say, oh, I intend to do that. What do you intend to do? Oh, I intend to walk across the room. Did I walk? Did I move? I had an intention. You see? Everything in life, you must take an action. It boils down, you must take an action. You must do something. You just can't have an intention. It starts with the intention. But you must take an action and move in that direction. That's the way it works. Works every time that way. So the next time you use that word, think of what it really means to you. And are you going to do something about that? Because I think a lot of people use that to get out of doing something. Or if they didn't do it, they say, well, I intended to do that. And then they think that makes it all right. You can't get away with much in your own mind, you know. You may think that you're tricking your mind. You may think that you can outsmart your mind, but you can't. You cannot do it. When you tell your mind that you intend to do something, then get up and do it. Or the next time you do it, it'll get weaker and weaker because the mind will say, well, you're not going to do it. You never did it the last time. You didn't move the last time, and you're not going to move this time. I know exactly. You know, your mind does that to you. So when you use that intention, then have an action to go with it. Know what your next step is going to be. Know what your next step is going to be. What's the little Chinese proverb? All journeys begin with a single step. The longest journey begins with a single step. But you're never going to get anywhere if you do not move. If you do not move. And this thing that we call God is not going to move your feet for you. God can only do for you what God can do through you. But you must move. You must move out in that direction. You must move out. I have an intention to get a job. Oh, that's nice. Did you send out a resume? Did you look in the newspaper? Did you make a telephone call? Well, no, but I intend to do that. That is my intention.
Would you mind talking, going back to the law of attraction, talking
yes.
about the importance of having the emotion to fuel
yes.
the,
yes.
well, the desire, I guess, is the emotion, but the emotion to manifest the creation of whatever it is you
yes.
desire.
Well, I think a desire and emotion could be the same, but let's say that they're not for argument's sake.
Okay.
And then I will, as we get going, are you familiar with the mental equivalent?
Mental equivalent?
The mental equivalent.
No, not the term.
Yeah. You come next week, you
okay.
get CD. I intend to do that for you.
Okay, thank you.
And I have a good mind, I'll remember. It's always done with warmth of feeling. Audra read that, and Andy made the tape. You'll love it. Emmett Fox was a great metaphysician, and he wrote the mental equivalent. And in order to manifest something, it requires the head and the heart to be in entrainment with each other so that there's no argument going on between the head and the heart. And it's done not with the thinking, but with the feeling. The life of the organism is feelings, not thoughts. And it's always done with your feeling. And you focus that because feelings are energy. And you focus your energy, you focus your feelings, and you focus your thought. But you get emotion moving in your body. You get that feeling moving in your body. And as I tell many people, you have to stump your foot and say, oh, I want that. Get a feeling moving, you know. Now, I don't know this exact quote, but William Shakespeare, in one of his plays, the whole idea about praying, and if your thoughts and feelings stay here, nothing goes up to heaven. Nothing goes up to heaven. You have to have a feeling. How many people go, well, and I went this and that, and I'd like to have that and this and that. You think that's going to get you anything? No. I want, and this is what I want, and this is exactly what I want. And you get oomph into it. And you get that emotion flowing. You get those feelings flowing. Then you'll get your demonstration. Does that help you?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, I don't have this problem, but let's just take somebody that wants to quit smoking.
Yes.
Maybe they want to quit out of fear of having medical health problems. They don't know where to start. So the feeling is the desire, I want to give up cigarettes. Now, if they focus on wanting to escape all the negative things, they're going to be attracting more negative.
Yeah. But you already started with the negative because you said out of fear. Anything you're doing, you're always doing out of love. And if you want to stop smoking, you have to love yourself enough not to smoke and not have the fear that you're going to. If you have a fear that you're going to die of lung cancer, you're going to die of lung cancer, by the way, because the fear will bring it to you. But you can't start out anything that you want because of fear. You have to start out because of love. And I love myself that much that I'm giving myself permission not to smoke. And then you start to visualize how you would breathe with clear lungs. And you start to have that feeling. And it's the feeling that will do it for you. And how do I know that works? Because I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. And I stopped.
And you started by telling yourself all the things that you're looking forward to.
I told myself that I no longer wanted to do that. That I liked myself that much. That I wanted to change my whole lifestyle. That I did not like the lifestyle that I was in. And that I was loving myself out of that lifestyle.
Okay. Keyword, loving myself.
Always. Grace Mind says do it out of fear. That's why people don't do it. Why do you think most of those things don't work? Because people are afraid. People are afraid they'll put on weight. They don't love themselves out of putting on weight. And when they're afraid they'll put on weight, what do? They put on weight. Yes.
Yeah.
Always start with love. Very trite saying, but absolutely true. Love is always the answer. Because love is all there is. God is love. And God is all there is. So always start everything with love. Every morning get up and start it with love. Jobs start with love. Interviews start with love. What are those things you people go to after? Auditions. Start it out with love. Not, oh, I'm afraid to go there, they won't like me. I'm going there because they absolutely will adore me. Because I know that I'm lovable, worthy, deserving, and that I matter. And everyone wants me to succeed. Because I haven't to give out nothing but love. Nothing but love. And if I'm giving out nothing but love, I know that nothing but love is coming back to me. And by goodness, I've nailed that job. Thank you very much. You see? Love is always the answer. And it's wonderful. So are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.